it alone ain't always wrong.
Irresistible appeal of black individuality. Where has all of that gone? The very people who blazed our paths to self-expression and pioneered a resolutely distinct and individual voice have too often succumbed to mind-numbing sameness and been seduced by simply repeating what we hear, what somebody else said or thought, and not digging deep to learn what we think or what we feel or what we believe. Now, it is true that the genius of African culture is surely its repetition, but the key to such repetition was that new elements were added each go-round. Every round goes higher and higher. Something fresh popped off the page or jumped from a rhythm that had been recycled through the imagination of a writer or a musician. Each new installation bore the imprint of our unquenchable thirst to say something of our own, in our own way, in our own voice, as best we could. The trends of the times be damned. Thank God we still got musicians and thinkers whose obsession with excellence and whose hunger for greatness remind us that we should all be unsatisfied with mimicking the popular rather than mining the fertile veins of creativity that God placed deep inside each of us.
We go eye to eye to eye to eye. We go eye to eye to eye to eye. We go eye to eye to eye. I'm
Like a diamond shine clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definition. News can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking you to pull back the musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora, and you will find our quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibrations. So I thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Good morning once again, and our student host, Walter Pierce, presents his diamond on the 44th United States President Barack Obama. His definition of the week will examine the word reparation, and his musical segment will feature Grammy Award winner Common. The elders will have the opportunity to provide comments and ask questions after each segment. Now, without any further ado, I'd like to bring on our student host, Mr. Walter Pierce. Good morning, Walter.
Yes, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of CN Hall in South Orange. And for today's diamond, it is on Barack Obama. But before I get into that, I want to read the intro for diamonds. And see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. Now, Barack Obama, you know, a lot of people have different viewpoints and different outlooks on Barack Obama, but we can all agree that he has brought great importance to showing the potential of what Black people in America could accomplish. And see, Black Americans' conception of ourselves was forever changed by Barack Obama's presidency. For African Americans, the first family helped to unlock the transformational potential that always existed in democracy's beating heart, but which too often excluded Black Americans. And that is no longer the case. Barack and Michelle Obama changed how Black folks thought of themselves and the wider nation they lived in. Obama's attainment of the nation's highest office illuminated the depth and breadth of Black genius in America's society, helping to inspire millions of people to dream bigger dreams. For Black America, the euphoria of Election Day in 2008 did not elicit post-racial fantasies articulated by the mainstream press. Instead, the presence of the Obamas on the world stage confirmed deep-seated truths about Black excellence, love, and humanity that we've always taken for granted despite white denial of these very truths. Barack and Michelle Obama along with their intelligent and energetic daughters, Sasha and Malalia, set a new standard for American society, normalizing the once unthinkable prospect of having a black president and a first family in the White House. Together, they broke powerful barriers installed by the nation's brutal history of slavery, Jim Crow, and institutional racism. For 8 years, Obama and his poised, elegant, and brilliant family occupied the domestic and world stage in a way that offered new models of excellence for millions of black children living in a society that continues to marginalize their hopes and dreams, and their mistakes and errors, and place too little values on their lives or deaths. A 5-year-old African-American boy visiting the White House asked to feel the president's hair, as if to assure himself that the leader of the free world not only looked like him, but had similar hair as well. It's one of the defining moments of Obama's presidency. It illustrated how the very fact of having a black president unlocked new worlds of hope and possibility in millions of people, young and old, who never imagined such a thing was possible. And that concludes my segment on Barack Obama. And the purpose of this segment was to really show the impact and why having a president like a Barack Obama, who was black, was important for our next generation to see, to show that it is possible for people that look like us to become presidents and to have positions of power in America. And yep, that concludes my segment on Barack Obama. You are tuned into 89.5 WSOU with student host Walter Pierce.
Love has no limit, let's spin a slow forever. I know your heart is weathered by what does did to you. I ain't gon' start them cause I probably did it too. Because of you feelings I handle with care. Some recognize your life, they can handle the glare. You know I ain't the type to walk around with matching shirts. The relationship is effort, I will match your work. I wanna be the one to make you happiest and hurt you the most. They say the end is near, it's important that we close to the most high. Regardless of what happened, on him let's rely. Second, it's important we communicate and tune the fate of this union to the right pitch. I never call you my to even my boo. There's so much in the name and so much more in you. Few understand the union of woman and man. And sex and a single is where they assuming it land. But that's fly by night for you in the sky right. During these cold shy nights, moon, you my light. If heaven had a height, you would be that tall. Ghetto to coffee shop, you, I see that all. Let's stick to understanding and we won't fall. For better or worse times, I hope to me you call. So I pray every day more than anything. Friends will stay as we begin to lay this foundation for a family. Love ain't simple, why can't it be anything worth having you work at annually? Granted, we've known each other for some time. It don't take a whole day to recognize sunshine. Second, it's kind of fresh you listen to more than hip-hop, and I can catch you in the mix from beauty to thrift shop. Plus you shit-pop when it's time to, thinking you fresh, suggesting beats I should rhyme to. At times when I'm lost, I try to find you. You know to give me space when it's time to. My heart's dictionary defines you. It's love and happiness. Truthfully, it's hard trying to practice abstinence. The time we committed love, it was real good. Had to be for me to arrive, and it still feel good. I know the sex ain't gon' keep you, but as my equal, it's how I must treat you. As my reflection, the light, I'ma lead you. And whatever's right, I'ma feed you. Yo, I tell you the rest when I see you. See.
Good morning once again, our ladies, so that they can perhaps ask a question or
well,
make a comment.
Well, maybe that's when you are covered, but you probably have, if they're giving you your packet now, you probably...
Right. And I see that Val was already on the line, but let's get Tanisha in and hear what she has to say about Barack Obama. Good morning, Tanisha. Let's see if we can get Val. Val, we already heard you talking about the packet, but now what do you have to say about Barack Obama?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what I have to say about former President Obama is it was an exciting time when he was elected. I remember taking that long trip down to D.C. It was cold out that day. We experienced some really, really rough a rough period going down for his inauguration, but it was really exciting. You know, it was first exciting just when we first heard that he was elected. And I think the first time I got emotional about it was when he came out at the end of election night, and he was in Illinois at some outside venue. And when they flashed Jesse Jackson's face across the screen and showed him crying, that's when the tears for me just flowed. You know, I guess you thought back on all that he and the other civil rights leaders had gone through and sacrificed. And then, you know, you just saw all of that, you know, joy in his face when you saw the tears rolling. So I guess that's probably my best memory when
okay.
he was elected president.
Well, one of the things that Walter said is that he forever changed the image of African Americans in this country as far as becoming or having the capabilities to perform the job. Let's get Tamir Davis. What is your impression of the 44th president, Barack Obama? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day. And it's great that I can actually say in lieu of Father's Day that former 44th president of the United States, Barack Obama, was a father to the nation during the time that he was in position as the leader and the CEO of the country. My impression of Barack Obama is that it was the zenith of America and the United States. The zeitgeist or the spirit of the moment that people have felt during the time of his election and afterwards and dealing with all of the various different adversities of being a CEO of the leading nation in the world, he handled it with great professionalism, and he was and still is a great image for all men and women across the world. His great sense of international diplomacy, his sense of actually engaging in military operations, his way of actually looking at things from a very wide point of view. In the same view, I would see him in the same vein as Marcus Aurelius, who was one of the greatest emperors in Rome during his reign as the emperor. If you haven't read it, it's a great book that Marcus Aurelius had coined entitled Meditations. So I think that Barack Obama, in terms of being a leader, people right now reflect back on Barack Obama in our previous administration, and they also, for years to come, they're going to look and weigh presidents as it relates to what Barack Obama had developed in terms of policy and what have you.
Okay. That's a lot. Charismatic, young, intelligent, and someone who definitely stood for change in America forever. Mr. Harris, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Good morning.
Are you?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Take it away.
Oh, well, my reflections on Barack is mixed in a way, but it's more on the positive side, you know, because sometimes you just need like a guidepost to like direct you to that. See, you can do that too, you know, and granted, he did do that for a lot of people, you know, and, you know, even though I didn't necessarily agree with all of his, all of the things he did as a president, you know, I still think, given all sides equal, that it was the one of the best things that happened to this country in a while. It's like your brother was just saying, it was one of the best things that happened to this country as in a while, but it was short-lived. Because granted, even though he was able to reach a certain zenith, you know, politically, you know, it showed what little the presidency really does when it comes to actually getting stuff done. It's really the Congress and, you know, and it led people into believing that maybe we need to be more politically savvy next time we do something like this.
Okay. That's adding a little bit more flavor to the segment. Let's see if we can get Tanisha. Tanisha, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Hello, can you hear me?
Any comments on Barack Obama?
Especially helped us, you know, recognize our true potential and how far that we could take it, and that it's up to us, you know, to make our dreams come true. You know, along as you plan and work your plan, and that's the power that we have.
Okay. Thank you so much. We're going to pass it back to our student host, Walter Pierce. Good morning, Walter, again.
Yes, good morning. And thank everybody for putting in some input on Barack Obama. But now it is time to get into my next segment of today, which is definitions. And see, this segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we could achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. Now, my definition for today is reparations. And see, the definition of reparations I have for today is the making of amends for a wrong one for a wrong one has done, by paying money to or otherwise helping those who have been wronged. Okay. And see, I've had conversations and I've heard discussions on reparations and what everybody really thinks about reparations and if Black people should still receive reparations. And see, hearing these, I heard things like money might not be a good idea to give to people because all they'll do is just spend it and waste all of the money, or the time has already passed. You know, we've already made a lot of progress. We don't need to receive any reparations.
And there was also other things I've heard saying, yeah, you know, these African-American communities are still suffering because of history of racism in this country and the things that have occurred in history and why Black communities are really struggling today. And one big thing that could help is put extra funding into these communities as reparations. And we can use that as reparations to help build up the community, or giving more African Americans more estate and ownership in this country, because a lot of the ownership in this country is by white people. But to give more ownership to Black people, that's how more success in the race will occur if that happens. And, you know, I really agree with that part, and of that, you know, the way our reparations should be really received, especially today, is through more ownership and through funding of communities and funding of, you know, things of necessities like school, you know, food, clothing, just necessities that a lot of these communities need that are struggling. And, yeah, that's really my take on the word reparations. And I do believe that, again, African Americans should receive reparations. But, you know, I also want to bring in other people to give their thoughts or extra comments they have on the word reparation, if that's possible.
Okay, we're going to go straight to Mr. Harris. Chime in with a comment or ask a question about reparations.
I might wind up doing both. But under my understanding of what reparations is, it's like if a criminal does something to you and they take something from you, you're being made whole again. You're being repaired. But the only reason why a person would not be able to get reparations is either the criminal doesn't think they've done anything wrong. So why am I paying you to fix something that when I don't think I did anything wrong? Or we're not in a position to organize ourselves and to be in a place where we can get reparations. Because every other ethnic community that has been wronged by, I'm just talking about America right now, that's been wronged by America has gotten reparations. The Japanese from the internment camps, they were, all our stuff was taken from them. They got reparations. The slave masters after slavery, from the loss of all their slaves, that we kind of celebrated yesterday, the slave masters got reparations for the property that they lost, because they think there was a crime was done to them. But the reason why a lot of us today are not getting any kind of reparations or not even being considered is because either they don't think they've done anything wrong, or they're continuing to do it, so they need to kind of finish doing the wrong before they can do something about it.
Wow, okay. Mr. Harris. I have to say that is kind of profound. Not kind of, that is profound. And I like the way you formed the question and how you attacked the subject. And, of course, I have Tamir Davis, chime in with a comment and question, whichever you prefer. Good morning again.
Good morning. How are you? Very dynamic subject matter, very important subject matter to actually discuss. But one of the perfect examples in the United States of America is in terms of reparations, is dealing with the Bureau of Indian Affairs, whereby majority of the original tribes, the Cherokee, the Creek, the Seminole, all these different ethnic groups will actually receive reparations. If you look at ancestry.com, there's something called the Dawes Roll. And in this Dawes Roll, it gives a list. If you can actually trace your bloodline back to this particular family, people still today are actually receiving reparations. If you go to some of the casinos in Connecticut, and what have you. Some people are getting $20,000, $30,000. A month. Some people are actually allowed to go to school for free. Some of the examples that Walt talked about earlier. Reparations is an antiquated argument in this country. Antiquated as far back as dealing with when the land and resources were stolen from the original indigenous people in America, they understood that they had to pay them back. Antiquated argument in terms of dealing with politicians in America as far back as 1827 and trying to figure out whether or not black or African Americans or bondsmen and bondswomen should actually go back to Africa. And they did not want the blacks to go back to Africa because they understood during this particular time it would break the economy tremendously. So in America, America received its greatest graduated wage in the country as far back as 1832. With Andrew Jackson, because of the fact that there was free labor in this country, free labor. So many of the bondsmen and bondswomen were not able to benefit. They were not able to benefit despite the unconditional aspect of them engaging in forced labor to the bondsmen and bondswomen. So the question is, if the people who actually usurped the land and resources from the Indians and they repatriated. And then we have to look at the other argument, too, that most of these bondsmen and bondswomen, African Americans, were actually on Indian reservations and they miscegenated into the Indian tribes marriage, to having children, so on and so forth. So there's a whole perfect example of repatriation during this particular time. So if that had taken place and there's a document, there's an actual document that exists that explains this, right? Then why not we go and look at the document that already exists that shows a great example of how the Indian Bureau of Affairs actually dispersing funds to the stolen land of the Indians. Why can't that be an argument that's used to be able to assist and help and make sure that African Americans should have no problem going to college, just going to trade schools? African Americans should be able to get some land and resources and what have you, There should be some help in terms of tilling the land and stuff like that. So if we're dealing with reparations, Randall Robertson brought the argument up. He brought the argument up and brought it before the world. But this is not just Randall Robertson. This is an antiquated, over 100-year-old argument. At the same time, it is okay to allow us to engage in forced labor, to allow us to live for decades on end, for centuries, and not get paid, and nothing happens to it. You say 1619, that goes far back as 1515. Goes back far back as 1492, January 3rd, from Portugal. So we have to begin to start looking at the history and look at what has been done and how we can actually create a legal argument and bring it before the courts. Thank you.
Okay. You've given us somewhat of a legal argument, along compounded with a history and a blueprint, a path to make way to actually making it happen. Tanisha, do you want to chime in with a comment and or question about reparations?
All I have to say, Stolen Legacy, they know who we are. They owe us over trillions of dollars. So I guess by that being said, they know the power that we have. Imagine if we receive those, you know, trillions of dollars, the white establishment would be placed out of business, and they know that, and they don't want to give up their power, and that's the reason why they don't give us our reparations, because they truly know who we are. Imagine the minds that are so creative, that has the minds of our ancestors to now to be able to do this in this century. They know that they wouldn't stand a chance. So that's what I wanted to say.
Okay. Thank you very much for your comment. Val, I'm going to get you in here on this. and I'd like for you to present a comment and or question. Good morning again.
Good morning again. And there were some excellent responses to reparations. But when we think about, and I do think someone mentioned it, but it's important that reparations definitely go to those who have bloodlines that go back to those times. And as far as I'm concerned, even those who've gone through the civil rights movement, because that was just a new form of keeping us down and tearing us apart. So it does have to, those reparations do have to go back to people whose families, you know, have long histories in this country, Black people who have long histories in this country. That is all I have to say at this time. I can, you know, think about, but that's one point that should be mentioned.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to give you the opportunity to chime in and join us in conversation. Now it's time for us to, wait a minute. Walter, what do you think about the different responses there?
Those were very good responses and, you know, very in-depth by everybody given each take on the word reparations for today.
Okay. We're going to continue musically. You're tuned to Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. Okay, we're going to move right on back into another segment where I get an opportunity to talk about mental health. Now, first of all, the stigma in our community where no one wants to see a therapist, no one feels as though that they need one, and they think that they can just handle situations all on their own. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you feel as though you need someone to talk to, you can call 1-800-662-4357. That's 1-800-662-HELP. 1-800-662-4357. Now, to add to that, I'd like to give you a small fable, something that you can possibly learn from. Now, this particular story is one that you probably heard before, and now you have the opportunity to hear it again. The dog and the shadow. Now, the whole idea about this particular fable is be happy with what you have. Now, the story starts with the dog walking home with a piece of meat in his mouth. Now, on his way home, he crosses a river and looks into the water. He mistakes his own reflection for another dog and wants the meat also. But also, he opens his mouth, and the meat that he has falls into the river and is never seen again. And here, it's foolish to be greedy, and everyone wants more. Of course, we always strive to do and be better and have bigger things. But it's important to reflect on the things you have that you do have and not take them for granted. Because one day, you may end up with nothing but regret of things that you could have done. And that does it for the fable of the day. And more importantly, if you feel a need or any kind of situation where you may have lost, 1-800-662-4357. Walter, what did you think about today's fable?
This fable was important in showing, you know, people not to be too greedy and make sure that, you know, you share with other people and check in on everybody else and just don't worry about yourself but others as well.
Okay. We'll get other people to chime in later, but I'd like for you to continue on with your next segment.
Okay, and my next segment for today is curtains. And before I read curtains, I would like for you, Mr. Bay, to read the intro for my curtain segment for today.
By all means. Now, curtains is an exposure and analysis of artists and their work behind the curtain and the stage. Many recording artists and companies have grown rich from the support of the community. But what benefits has the community gained from the artist? Curtains is a review of the musical growth and history, the impact of a style and genius on the general moods and attitudes of their listening audience. Musical and lyrical social consciousness as presented by the artists over a period of time and CD releases. Curtain serves best as an introduction to and an exploration of a particular artist and today his genius and his involvement in influencing all people's style and creativity in the world today.
Thank you for that. And now it is time to go into my curtain for today, which is Common. And see, Common was born Lonnie Rashad Lynn Jr. on March 13, 1972, in Chicago, Illinois, to educator Mahalia Ann Hines and basketball player Lonnie Lynn Sr. The young Lynn went on to adopt the stage name Common Sense and became an underground rapper who garnered a reputation for relatively thoughtful and progressive lyrics as compared to top-selling rap artists of all time. After being sued by a band over usage of his performance alias, Lynn simply began to go by Common, as seen with the release of 2000's Like Water for Chocolate, a hit album which featured production from Questlove and the single The Light, with additional music contributors like D'Angelo, Macy Gray, and Roy Hargrove. was more experimental and diverse with its sonic orientation, with Mary J. Blige featuring on the single Come Close. Other tracks hosted musicians like Jill Scott, Pharrell Williams, Erykah Badu. In 2003, Common won a Grammy for Best R&B Song for Love of My Life, a collaboration with Badu that was featured on the 2002 soundtrack, Brown Sugar. In 2005, Common dropped the more straightforward funk and soul-based B, a number two album on the Billboard charts. The project featured production from the fellow Chi-Town artist, Kanye West, who also contributed lyrically to the single Go and tracks The Food and They Say, with singer John Legend appearing on the latter song as well. Common has continued to focus on recording as seen with albums Finding Forever, The Dreamer, The Believer, and Nobody Smiling. Yet he also increasingly turned to acting, having made his television debut with a role on the sitcom Girlfriends. Later TV projects include One on One and Wheels, with Common playing 19th century character Elaine Ferguson in several seasons. So landed major parts for big screen projects, among them American Gangster, Terminator Salvation, and the romantic Dreamy, Just Right, playing an injured basketball player opposite Queen Latifah. But one of his biggest musical projects, well, is on the show portraying the biopic of Martin Luther King Jr., which is Selma, which you'll hear his song Glory, which was featured with John Legend. And that concludes my segment on Common for today. Just to wrap it up, you know, Common is also a man who is very involved in social issues and social activism for African Americans in this country. He's been a part of different movements, and he's been a voice for the community, especially, you know, with his song Glory that was in Selma, that it's just been heard all over, and it's been an amazing song to remember and to show the how African Americans are going to overcome and reach that mountaintop and just continue to progress, which is amazing to hear. But besides that, you are tuned into 89.5 WSOU, and we should be hearing some sounds by Common coming right up.
Listening to Farrakhan. line in the Ponce Avalon streets we were battle on. Got the good book in my carry-on. Life is a race, I'm the marathon man on the moon. Get a voice of room, rose from the concrete, told you I would bloom. Situation brought out the hero, a little black 13 year old. The voice of the Lord in my earlobe, telling me my purpose, I can see it clear. Revolution in the execution of lyrics, spirit of Gil Scott, Marvin Gaye, modern day.
Glory comes, it will be out, it will be out. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory.
Oh.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be out. It will be out. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory,
glory. Oh. Now the war is not over, victory isn't won, but we'll fight on to the finish, and then when it's all done, we'll cry glory, oh glory, oh. We'll cry glory, oh.
For every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon is to stay peaceful. We sing, our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win the war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
Glory,
oh,
glory, glory, glory.
I'd like to bring Tanisha on. Tanisha, good morning. Give us a summation of today's show. Anything that you'd like to talk to us about and share?
I definitely like the one you mentioned about the dog, and it's about being grateful. Sometimes we get so caught up on the things that we don't have, and we forget about the things that we do have. And when we're grateful with the things that we do have, we can appreciate the bigger things.
Okay. Thank you so much for your participation and your comment. I want to go to Mr. Shelton Harris and pretty much the same question. Chime right on in. What's your summation of today's program?
Yeah, today's program, we touched on a lot of things and we got a lot of differentiated comments about these things. And that's what it's all about. It's about the diversity of our diaspora. We're not all monolithic in our thought process. And today's kind of show showed that.
Okay. Thank you so much again, Mr. Harris, for your comments and your participation and involvement. Let's go to Val. Val, what's your summation of today's show? Please feel free to make a comment or ask a question.
Yes, I definitely want to make a comment regarding your reparations segment. It was excellent, and I do like the feedback from the panel. Have a great Father's Day.
Okay, thank you so much for your participation and your involvement, because without you guys, this thing just doesn't, it's no fun. Mr. Tamir Davis, happy Father's Day, brother. What is your summation of today's broadcast? Tamir Davis?
It's a beautiful show. It's a beautiful show. I appreciate you having me on your show. I wish that you continue to have me on your show so I can continue to learn and share it with others. I appreciate you.
Okay. Is that it?
That's it. I'm trying to keep it short.
It's all good.
I got her in the background. Nothing me.
Okay. We're gonna turn it. Thank you so much for your involvement and participation as well. We turn it back over to our student host Walter Pierce. You can wrap it up.
Yes, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Fresh Community Vibration, live on 89.5 from the campus of CN Hall in South Orange. This is Quest Youth Radio, and Quest Youth Radio is the best,
youth radio.
Okay. Thank you so much.